But we're going to be looking at Jake. It is a blessing to present this one. Rob does this in the Master of Arts in Biblical Counseling, and I guess he goes over this in the seminary as well with his pastoral students. But just a little background, we assume, I say we, the evangelical church assumes all counseling out there is the same. It's different. It's all Christian. It's all biblical. I mean, that's the way they, I mean, pastors are referring right and left and churches. And so some years ago, the Five U's book, Four Views First, 2 years later, Five U's came out of the major views in, quote, Christian counseling. The five views or five perspectives. And it was a critical thinking book. David Paulson wrote the Biblical Counseling Approach. He didn't know there was going to be a sequel that was going to talk about a case study. And so he did a presentation of biblical counseling, and he threw a case study in there as well, which took up a lot of space that he probably would have used differently had he known another book was coming. All of the authors or contributors to the five views, all but David, they don't counsel. They're all theorists. They all fly around at 30,000 feet and never land and help somebody. But only David is the one that actually counsels. So what they decided, InterVarsity did, is let's do another book and let's take one case and have a practitioner from each of the views show us what they would do with the person. That's really good. I mean, let's see what goes on behind the closed doors in counseling, where 30,000 feet becomes sea level, and they're counseling someone. So that's this book, Counseling in Christianity, Five Approaches. They have it in the bookstore here. Jake is the case study. What you have in front of you is what's right in the beginning here. They sent that to me. For whatever reason, I mean, they said, would you be mind doing this? And I said, no, I'd rather not. I mean, it's daunting to represent all of biblical counseling. I mean, there's a spectrum, and I said, no. And they pushed back. David Paulson said, you should do it. Think of, I said, well, okay, I got into that, and then just one trial after another. It was one of the hardest labor-intensive things I think I've ever done. We had three family members die in the process. I mean, it was one issue and a heart attack on top of that. It was just one issue after another, and I kept saying, I can't do it, can't do it. I need to bail out, get someone else. And they just, the editors said, no, we're going to stay with you. By the end, and it's not critiquing each other. We didn't critique each other. We just, everyone wrote there what they would do with Jake. By the end, though, and some of you who have read this book, it's shocking. I mean, after I read it, and they sent me a copy, I started reading the other four views. There's only one of the five views that deals with the gospel. Only one. And there's only one that even talks about the church. Only one view, when it's like 250 scripture references in the entire book. I think I have 240 in my chapter. It's like void of the Bible, void of the church, void of the gospel. And that's why Rob just says this is one of the more helpful, transparent views of look at what really goes on and how they would deal with Jake. And so with that, I'm grateful that those who read it, you would want to say, well, Jake needs Christ. He needs the gospel. He needs the resources that God has given. So that's the Five Views book. It's all theory for the most part, except David's. But then this one is, let's take Jake and walk it through. So what I'm going to do, I have numerous handouts that I had in my chapter for Jake. These are things I would be using with Jake. I mean, one of the criticisms of biblical counseling is that we're simplistic. And I told the editors, can I get some extra words? I know what the others have, but can I have some extra? Just because we're accused of being simplistic, and we're not. I think we go more in depth than they would ever think about doing. And they cut out about 12 pages, reducing it. And they still gave me extra words. And so what I did is I posted all of the different handouts, stepping into the session with Jake, various things I would be using to help Jake. And so they're on the 180 Counseling website. I think you have that maybe at the bottom of your paper somewhere. But they're all there under resources under Jake. But, you know, I'm going to reference a few of them, but I just wanted you to know that you can go there and download those so you have them, even though they were cut out of the book. And they're in the book, too, as far as the reference. And they can just go to the website and find them there. This is what you will find when you read the different views. And we're going to get to Jake. Just this is how the others look at truth. It's all a smorgasbord. All truth is God's truth. And some of them go heavier into one than the other. The Bible is acknowledged, but rarely used. But they think truth comes at us all on equal authority and certainty. Matter of fact, some of them think science is a whole lot more certain than the Bible. But what this is really how it comes. God gives us divine revelation, and it's 100% authoritative, and it's 100% certain. It's unlike anything else. I mean, we're talking about where your source of knowledge is from, your epistemology. Don't put them on equal planes. They're not even close. We start, thus saith the Lord. Let God be true and every man be found a liar if it's in contradiction. That all truth is not linear, if it is true. But divine revelation, that's where we want to start. And from there, then you move way down. Then you get into hard sciences. And I appreciated Ken Ham talking about the difference between observational science and historical science, where they have presuppositions, evolution and some of the other things. No God are their presuppositions. But the observational end can be quite helpful. And then you move down even further to philosophy and psychology, often called soft sciences, especially psychology. And then on down even further, which is the worst, you know, what I think and believe based on my own thoughts and feelings. And I just found having this grid in my mind helps me as I'm reading through the different views. How do they know what they know? Where are they getting their truth from? And we want to start with God. That's what's certain and authoritative, and then move downward from there. So I'm going to give you 10 minutes or so to read the case. Otherwise, you will catch up on some sleep. Don't read it commenting on it and question marks and underlining and highlighting. Just read it to say, here's the case they gave me. Help Jake. How would you help Jake? All right. Initial impressions other than refer. You say, well, could they add anything else to Jake? Right? Throw a crisis in at the very end. Oh, by the way, this past weekend with this girl at school. So just one thing after the other. When I first got this, you just read it. I mean, they sent it to me. When I read it over, I thought, you know, if this was a real person, and we've met Jakes before. Some of you may say, I know this guy. I've counseled him or been involved with someone like Jake. But I thought, this is Christian counseling. This is biblical counseling. Was one of your initial impressions, there's nothing that even hint that he's a believer. Right? That's not what the editors wanted to hear. Because I emailed them back and said, I wouldn't be counseling Jake, I would be evangelizing Jake. Right? And they said, well, the others have already started in on their chapters. I said, I know, but I'm going to be presenting the gospel. And they said, well, let's do this. Let's assume. You just assume he's a believer. Boy, now I'm supposed to think on things that are true.